Episode 5, Colonial Rule, The Making of the Kingdom. Our journey finally comes to a close with the colonial period, which defines the boundaries of modern Jordan. This period begins during the year 1921 and ends during the year 1922. One humid Sunday afternoon in Cairo, in 1921, Winston Churchill, with a mere stroke of a pen, he would later brag, created the British Mandate of Transjordan, now known as Jordan today. The Secretary of State for the Colonies was rumored to have been drinking, and his penmanship was as a result rather wobbly. The particularly erratic borderline, as would be described in a New York Times article by Frank Jacobs some 90 years later, created a country. A wonky, almost whimsical line delineated my homeland Jordan. We could still see the result very visibly across the quite bizarre zigzagging of the border between Jordan and Saudi Arabia, something that is sometimes known today as Winston's hiccup or Churchill's sneeze.
And I think we also have to look at the story of Winston's hiccup in that perspective, where the fact that the line was drawn a bit haphazardly, at least according to legend, tells us something about how the people in the region felt and possibly still feel about their borders being drawn up by a foreign power, i.e. in this case Britain, without them having a say in how this happened. So this is a story that goes, it's a story with a moral, and the moral is that the borders that are as they are now are not the result of the locals agreeing to the border, but are the result of a foreign power dictating how they should be.
And as Frank Jacobs says,
although true, it is not as good a story as Winston's hiccup. It's much more relatable because, of course, people know a little bit about Winston Churchill, and one of the few things they probably know about him is that he smoked cigars and that he liked to drink. So it kind of confirms the image that we have of him in our minds.
The British regarded Transjordan's value primarily as a transit zone between Palestine and Iraq, Jacobs writes, but also as a part of an aviation corridor, back when flights were short and refuelings were plentiful, between Britain and India. The location of Transjordan's eastern border with Iraq was also considered crucial in relation to the anticipated building of the Kirkuk-Haifa oil pipeline. It was in fact during the fighting with the Ottomans that the European forces began drawing political dividing lines for colonial purposes across the landscape of the Middle East. These lines are reflective of the Middle East we know today. These lines included hypothetical divisions that were developed by T.E. Lawrence, who had a vision for a liberated Arab world, which he proposed to the Eastern Community of the War Cabinet. Colonel Thomas Edward Lawrence, better known as Lawrence of Arabia, also had his own ideas on divisions, having served in the region. Lawrence did not immediately enlist in the British Army in August 1914. A few months later, he was called upon by the archaeologist and historian Lieutenant Commander David Hogarth to the newly established Arab War Intelligence Unit in Cairo. He arrived to Cairo in December of 1914. At the Arab Bureau, Lawrence was responsible for supervising maps preparation and was a constant advocate of an independent Arab Syria. In October 1915, a crisis took hold as Sharif Hussein, the Arab Beni Hashim tribe leader, who was from 1908 the Sharif and Emir of Mecca, asked for a commitment from Britain to secure his rule, threatening to support the Ottomans otherwise. Sharif Hussein bin Ali al-Hashimi proclaimed the Great Arab Revolt against the Ottoman Empire, and from 1916 to 1924 was king of the Hejaz. And the third son Faisal was selected to lead with Lawrence with strategic contributions to the Arab revolt and liaised with the British armed forces. It was thus that the Arab world suggested by Lawrence might migrate to Syria, which was to be ruled by Sharif Faisal, and outlying zones which were to be ruled by his brother Zayd and Abdullah. A competing proposal floated was that of the Sykes-Picot Agreement, where British diplomat Sir Mike Sykes and the French diplomat François-Georges Picot shaded the map to reflect zones of their respective control and influence. Central to their map design was a designated Holy Land and the Jerusalem under French, Italian, Russian and Greek control. Another 1947 proposal showed an internationalized Jerusalem. These ideas did not materialize, however. General Allenby took control of the region by 1918, and the British initially rejected Sykes-Picot and developed their own temporary boundaries. France was mandated in Lebanon and Syria, and the British in Mesopotamia and Palestine. The British mandate for Palestine, which was established at the Saint-Rémy Conference in 1920, included Transjordan, which is named from its location east of the Jordan River. The Balfour Declaration, which envisioned a Jewish homeland in Palestine, was recognized by that mission. Churchill's stroke of the pen separated Transjordan, about three quarters of Palestine, from the initial British mandate created in Saint-Rémy in 1920 to construct the kingdom for Sharif Abdullah. The Yarmouk River was a border decided between French Syria and British Transjordan. Transjordan would not be allowed into the mandatory region as an Arab entity separate from Palestine, and it would not be included in the Jewish national home to be built west of the Jordan River, according to Churchill and Abdullah. In April 1921, Abdullah was appointed Emir of the Transjordan region. The area west of the Jordan River was administered as Palestine, and the area east of the Jordan was administered as Transjordan. Transjordan was framed beneath the League of Nations Palestine mandate. This was modified in 1921 through Article 25, which included language that the Jewish national homeland did not apply east of the Jordan. The League of Nations, by approving this, meant that it gave the Jordan boundary that the PF had drawn international recognition, and so the Jordan River was the border now between two independent countries. In 1922, the British Foreign Office marked the edges of Transjordan, which was to become Jordan, and Palestine, which the British would later name Israel, by drawing a line through the Jordan River.
What we see in the region is a triumph, basically, of European concept of borders over a local Arab concept of borders. So the rigid system won and the more flexible system lost.
As Faisal was crowned King of Iraq, Sharif Abdullah became the first Emir of Transjordan. Thank you so much for listening to this series, and I hope you enjoyed it.